Hello and welcome to episode 96 of season 2 of the Search with Canada podcast. I am your host, Jack Chambers Ward, and joining me this week is a very special guest who I've been wanting on the show for a very long time, the one and only, the senior SEO manager at Sanity, Lydia Infante. Lydia is nothing short of a superstar in the SEO industry. I'm sure you've already heard of her and aware of her from her various talks across Brighton SEO and MozCon and appearances on other podcasts. We get into all of that stuff. And Lydia has brought a really, really interesting topic for us to talk about this week. Basically going to be doing an MBA. If you don't know what MBA is, Lydia will explain all in a couple of minutes, and we'll dive into how you can relate search and metrics and all that kind of stuff and learning some key skills around SEO and search marketing and dating, essentially. Online dating, Tinder, and the online dating scene and dating life in general. So it's a very unique take. It's a really, really funny podcast. One of my favorite ones we've recorded in a very, very long time. As you can tell, I had a lot of fun recording it. One, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, of course, I'd like to say a huge thank you to this week's sponsor, the one and only Systrix. They're known as the SEO's Toolbox. And if you want to get access to some free tools and a free trial of their fantastic service, go to systrix.com/SWC. If you want to get TrendWatch, which I'm going to talk about right now, you can go to systrix.com/trends and you can get 10 monthly trends delivered to your inbox every single month. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek of October TrendWatch. That's the 21st issue of TrendWatch, written by the one and only Nicole Scott. Fantastic data journalist over at Systrix, fantastic tech writer and blogger in her own right as well. Let's talk about waffles, shall we? Yeah, that's right, waffles. I wasn't expecting waffles to be on here. Apparently the UK has seen a big surge in waffles recently, and it's a trend now. I didn't know they had either gone or come back into trend. I kind of thought they were just a steady, fairly normal breakfast treat, but apparently waffles are a big thing in the UK, really starting sort of like mid last year. Over the last sort of 18 months or so, they have gone absolutely crazy, and yeah, astronomic trending from the word waffle for some reason. I have a feeling it's to do, of course, as it always is with social media when it comes to TikTok and Instagram, viral food challenges and stuff like that. Can you waffle and all that kind of, can it waffle, will it waffle? YouTubers like Rhett and Link on Good Mythical Morning, and Why Yes You Can Waffle That is an article on Eater, which is a food blog. You can check that out as well. Next up, let's talk about CapCut, because I think CapCut is a really interesting thing and something I've been using recently, funnily enough, to create TikTok and Instagram content for Search Norwich. It is a brilliant little tool for quickly editing and sorting out captions and transitions and templates and stuff for short form video content. Highly recommend you use it. It is free. Of course, I'm not sponsored by CapCut. It's just the fact that it is very, very popular at the moment. It started during the pandemic and has now really, really taken off as one of the definitive video editing software for things like Instagram stories and TikTok videos and stuff like that. Like I said, I use it all the time for my work doing social media stuff for Canada and for Search Norwich. So if you've seen any of the Search Norwich clips on TikTok or Instagram, that was me using CapCut. And I know I've finally convinced Mark to start using it, because yes, I've finally gotten Mark onto TikTok and he's actually creating stuff for TikTok as well. Last of all, once again, near and dear to my heart, let's talk about cruises again, because 2024 cruises are unsurprisingly popular. Because I don't know if you know, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I went on my honeymoon and my wife and I went on a cruise all across the Mediterranean, across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas respectively. And we're already planning on our next cruise, we're already planning our next big holiday. So I'm not surprised that 2024 cruises is taking off in terms of search volume and trend. And it seems that it's done an amazing job recovering from COVID and the post-pandemic stuff. And again, a lot of negative publicity around cruise ships and them harboring a lot of dangerous things around COVID and things like that. You know, it being a very easy way to spread COVID when you're on a cruise ship. it seems like they made a huge comeback and the cruise industry is doing incredibly well. Southampton in particular leading the way in terms of UK-based ports for cruises and stuff. And we found out we could fly from right here in Norwich out to Corfu and straight into the Mediterranean on our cruise. So that's what we did. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in terms of cruises. And if you want to check out 2024 cruises, that is a huge trend happening right now. So go to sistrix.com/trends, sign up for Trendwatch, and you'll get the next edition, the 22nd edition, delivered to your inbox in a couple of weeks' time. Without any further ado, here is my interview with the one and only Lydia Infante. My guest for this week is a renowned speaker from events such as Brighton SEO, MozCon, WTS Fest. She's also a singer, a stand-up comedian, an activist. Oh, and probably most importantly, the senior SEO manager at Sanity. Welcome to the show, Lydia Infante.
Hello, Jack. Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
It's nice to sit down and have a conversation. I know we've hung out at Brighton SEO a couple of times. We've known each other for a couple of years now. It's nice to actually sit down and finally get you on the show. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
I know. I like when I pitched to you, I thought this topic is pretty unhinged. Who's going to be able to actually like...
Hinged?
Who's going to say yes to me?
I get the reference there. There's
I didn't think about that. It's pretty it's pretty unbumbled.
There you go.
So Jack's going
to
do it.
Teasing the topic there, listeners. But you are actually technically making your return to the show because I did interview you in Brighton SEO.
That's true.
18 months ago, 2 years ago now, wherever it was. It was just after you got married.
It was 2 years ago, right? Yeah. No, if you interviewed me after I got married, that must have been 1 year ago.
Because both of us had just got married, so it must have been a year ago. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks, mate. You too. So yeah, technically your second appearance, but your first full episode. And I absolutely loved the idea of the topic we're going to talk about. Listeners, the title is The Dating MBA When Love Meets Metrics. And if you've ever heard Lydia talk, have you ever met Lydia? This is pretty on brand, right?
Yeah. It's sad that this is my brand, but yes, this is very on brand. Like, let's overshare, but also measure everything. And
you oversharing, you need data, you need optimization.
Exactly.
So give us a little intro to the listeners of what actually we're going to be doing, because it sounds like a fun topic, right? But what are we actually going to be talking about on the show for the next sort of half an hour, 40 minutes or so?
Right. So I went through a very slutty era, 2018, 2019. Okay. It was a good time. It was a fun time. It was an inappropriate to discuss in a professional environment time, but it taught me a lot. At the time, I was working for a SaaS company, and we were doing like this very hardcore, strict measurements with Salesforce and HubSpot. And we were using a combination of CRMs, like automatic lead qualification. We had, you know, a bunch of terminology flowing around, like an MQL and an SQL and stages and opportunity sizes. And all we cared about was the pipeline. There's so many puns here to be had. We're going to reserve them for a little later. Or maybe we're just not going to see it because we're going to try and be classy.
We're going to try and be classy and professional in this podcast.
Exactly.
Gosh darn it.
Exactly. I'm going to try my very best, but...
I think we're going to be a bad influence on each other. We're going to last like 5 minutes. It's going to be descend into debauchery very quickly.
I have a feeling that it might take me like... Yeah. About 15 minutes to go into getting pipeline.
Start your timers now, listeners.
So I had this manager. We were really like close to each other. We were the same age. She joined the company earlier than me, and we were peers initially, and she became my manager. And she was like way more well-versed into like pipeline measurement than I was. So she'd started referring to my dating life in terms of like the same terms that we were using for pipeline optimization. So she'd be like, "You're getting many leads, Lydia?" And I'll be like, "Oh, so many matches." And she's like, "But are they MQLs? Are you qualifying?" And that's how I started actually measuring my dating funnel through the Salesforce approach to pipeline, right? So we would have the following. And I ended up like developing like a homegrown CRM to manage my dating life because it was an abundant dating life and I could not keep up. So whenever somebody would match with me, we would have a lead, right? Now, a lead needs qualification. We're going to do the first tier of qualification in the chat. And in the chat, it can become an MQL or it can become an unqualified lead. MQL is marketing qualified lead. It's usually the type of lead qualification that you do automatically within your CRM based on what pages they've visited or how they've interacted with your site. In my case, it was in the chat. If you have an MQL, so a date, like an MQL would be invited into a date with me, would have the honor of taking me out. That date is the first sales conversation where you do sales, like opportunity size assessment. Now, when it comes to size assessment, talk about dating pipeline. How do I say this that it's not rude? It's not talking about penises, okay? We're talking about something else. We're talking about whether, so on the MQL, the date, the sales conversation, this date can become an unqualified lead again, right? Or it can go into a sales qualified lead. Sales qualified lead is a good date. And then we're doing, okay, it's a qualified lead. How big is the lead? How big is the opportunity? We've got bronze, silver, or gold. Bronzes are here for a fun time, not a long time. Silver is like, cool guy, let's hang out a few times. Gold is, I think you could become my boyfriend. You know, once these opportunities have been qualified, of course, you need the lead to decide to buy or not. In the negotiation process, they can become unqualified. Again, at any point in the funnel, they can become unqualified. But if they're not unqualified, they're either going to become closed won or they're going to become closed lost. Now, it depends on what you understand by won or lost. You could also have an opportunity open. You could argue that my husband is actually an open opportunity because it's ongoing and neither of us have died. But because we're wearing rings on our finger and it will be very expensive to get divorced, I'm going to call it a close one.
I think we can call that closed. Yeah.
Yeah. Close one. Now, you see, that's a lot of data and that's a lot of points of optimization. So I started by measuring my dating pipeline. How many leads am I getting? How many of them are turning into dates? How many of those dates are turning into good dates? And how many of those good dates are turning into bronze, silver, or gold? And what percentage of the bronze, silver, and gold am I close winning or close losing?
Right. So you're again kind of getting like conversion rates from each stage.
It's literally funnel measurement,
yeah.
Right? Combined with like sales pipeline optimization. And believe it or not, this actually really, really helped me at work. Because I finally got it. And I had all of these optimization ideas. But it also helped me, you know, in my dating life. Because again, it was not a small dating life. I don't know how to say this without making me sound absolutely horrible. But, you know, 2018, 2019, great years. They will be remembered. I'm sure I will be remembered as well. And I decided, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, what I really, really want right now is maybe finding a partner. Because this seems like a complete waste of my time to just go out, meet these guys, let them meet me, waste my evening that I could have spent watching Gilmore Girls, drinking wine and eating cheese with a stranger. So I decided to select a North Star. A North Star is the measurement by which you measure your wider success in your marketing strategy. And my North Star was gold opportunities. Right, so now that we have a North Star, it's time to start experimenting with our profile, well, with the stuff that we have control over. And the very first thing that I tried was my profile. I made many changes in my bio. I was using some templates that I got from an online dating course that I paid 15 euros for. Best 15 euros I've ever spent, amazing, by the way. I still have the workbook and I share it with my friends who are newly single.
It came with a workbook for 15 euros. That's pretty good. Yeah, pretty good value for money right now.
It's so good. It's like a 25 pages workbook. Super like cool. Very cute. It comes with two meditations and like 4 hours of video content.
Wow.
It even came with a playlist to hype yourself up before a date. Great investment.
So we're using stuff where we can control to kind of, in SEO terms, like A-B test stuff, right? So you can see what's working and what's not working.
So we're going to measure our input and what's the effect that it has on the output metrics. Like what's going to happen? The very first thing is I changed the bio. I had 5 bio structures and I tested each of them for 2 weeks. Yes, these were 2 long years, but I was dedicated to the cause. The bio changed nothing. It had no impact whatsoever on my pipeline. 0.
Interesting. We're going to dive into maybe this a bit later, but like, I wonder if that's a gender bias thing and that men are mostly driven by the visual element of, like, I'm thinking like swiping left or right on Tinder, right? It's such a visual thing. And so many people make that initial decision straight away. This also applies for customers, by the way. We're not just talking about dating. Just swap all these words around for business. And this all.
Yeah. Well, it is very swappable for business. Exactly.
But yeah, I wonder if it was the other way around. Like, do women checking out men review the bio more than men checking out women, or, you know, women checking out women or men checking out men?
I definitely reviewed the bios a lot, but there's stuff that when I see it on the first picture, isn't like immediate swipe left.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
If you're shirtless, swipe left. If you're wearing sunglasses in like a car without a roof, I don't know how to say that in English properly, convertible.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you're wearing sunglasses in a convertible, swipe left. If you're standing by your car, swipe left. If it's a group photo, swipe left. If it's a baby and you say, not my baby, swipe left. Whoa,
drives me nuts. Yeah, I agree on those last two. I encountered a lot. I remember, again, me going back like 10 years ago, like when I was in the dating scene before I met my now wife, Emma. And it was like the group photo where you can't tell who is who. I was like, well, like, why pick a group photo as the central thing?
Yes. And like, what if I go to the next photo and I'm disappointed because the hot one from the first photo is not you, right? Like, you're setting yourself up for failure.
They had a hot friend all along.
I know. They were baiting you with a hot friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would typically, read the bios. If the bio is empty, swipe left. If the bio is an Instagram handle, swipe left. If you're not putting in the effort, and like, if you're not putting in the effort in your marketing, how do I know that you're going to take care of your customers?
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Therefore, swipe left. So if I'm choosing different providers for a specific solution and one of them has a help, like a support side and plenty of screenshots of how their tool works, I know that they're taking care of, you know, their tool, their market. If they don't, then I'm going to go with another one. So then I started testing the first picture. And the idea to test the first picture came from, I think it was Tinder initially, that allowed you to auto-test what's the first picture that's going to get you more leads.
Oh, cool.
And Tinder kept putting a bikini picture as my first picture.
Of course.
Bikini picture, tons of leads. Like, seriously, like it really, really increased my pipeline in terms of leads. But then when I measured the effect that it had in the next stage in MQLs, it had the biggest drop-off to unqualified leads that I had ever seen. It would just like drop straight out of the funnel. It would be complete trash. I would be getting like dick pics and like you up and all of that, like not interested. It was something that attracted the wrong audience. for sure. Then when I changed it for a travel picture, I got less leads, but the same amount of MQLs. So the funnel between the lead to MQL was a little bit healthier because the conversion rate was much higher, but the amount of MQLs didn't change. And I didn't really see a significant change afterwards into the quality or the opportunity sizes that I was looking at. Bronze, silver, gold stayed at the same distribution at the SQL stage. And then my saving grace, my cat. I took a very cute picture with my cat. Up until recently, that picture was still my profile picture on Twitter. So people listening to this might have seen this picture. It is currently my profile picture on my work Slack. So hopefully no coworkers are listening to this. But if they are, that's the picture that I was using. And that picture reduced the number of leads quite significantly. Didn't have, reduced the number of MQLs a little bit, but really improved the opportunity size of my SQLs. My bronze SQLs dropped down. My silver and gold really, really, really grew. And that's how I decided that the thing that, because I was measuring my funnel, I was making the right decision. And this is where we take it back to business, right? If I had just been measuring leads, if I had just been measuring a vanity metric, like the number of people that are swiping right on me, I would have kept the bikini picture. And the truth is that the quality of my sales pipeline would have dropped because I'm measuring the wrong thing. Because I was measuring the right thing, I was measuring the opportunity size of my SQLs, and I giggle internally every time I say opportunity size.
I'm trying to hold it in every single time. I'm trying to be a professional podcast host here.
Oh my God, yes. So because I was measuring opportunity size, I was able to understand that my marketing efforts were not working, you know? But it's not just me that's taking these people through the funnel. They're taking me through their funnel. Not because they're not crazy. They're not measuring it on an Excel file, right? They don't have automated formulas or graphs updating on a weekly basis. but they are taking me through their funnel. So I started thinking about how I was targeting my audience. And because I was, at the time I was studying my master's in digital business, I was thinking about the red ocean, blue ocean kind of strategy. What that means is a red ocean strategy is when you're addressing an audience that's quite competed in a space that's quite competed. So you're talking to guys who have thousands of matches because they have very well curated profiles. They know how to present themselves in a way that's attractive to their target audience. Now, the blue ocean strategy, and I always had this instinct when I looked at a profile that looked a little bit meh, to look a little bit further and think, that jawline, the shoulders are broad. I think this man's a lot hotter than he thinks. And he's not really photographing well.
Are you talking about your husband here, Lydia?
My husband takes really bad pictures.
I know. You've talked about this before, that's why. Deceptively hot is your husband. That's what
he's deceptively hot, you know, like sneaky hot. There's this man that they're usually nerds. So they're also quite intelligent, like the really good audience for me. And they're not getting many matches because they don't know how to take a picture or how to write a compelling bio, right? So I knew a lot of my friends were going extremely red ocean strategy. They only liked these guys who looked like they were making like millions and that they were so like big and handsome and muscular. And I was more like, I want to look at guys that don't look like they do Tinder professionally. So I found that there's like the audience of nerds, my blue ocean strategy, an audience that's a lot less tapped into and a lot less competed. In fact, the red / blue ocean strategy, the name comes from a red ocean is a bloody ocean where the sharks are like fighting and there's blood all over. And a blue ocean, it's you're the only shark in there. And poor man, I was the only shark in there. So the audience targeting really, really helped me out. And it also affected my pipeline in a really, really positive way. I had less leads, but my conversion to MQLs was skyrocketing. And my my conversion to SQLs was skyrocketing. And the quality of my opportunities, this opportunity size, kept on growing. So I was going a lot more silver and a lot more gold. Now, I could have left it there. That was pretty good. Like, the sales pipeline is optimized. I almost have a marketing automation flow going. But I realized that I was investing a lot in my dating life. So finding out the conversation to go from lead to MQL took a really long time. And the qualification from SQL to opportunity size evaluation also took a lot of work. So I decided to standardize this into repeatable processes. Because again, I'm a data nerd and I need to understand exactly the effect of what I'm doing. So I just did four types of prompts. I basically put out I evaluated the first interaction that I would have in that MQL qualification journey. I tried prompts that were high intimacy versus prompts that were low intimacy, and prompts that were high effort versus prompts that were low effort. An example of a high intimacy, high effort prompt of me going on Bumble and saying, what was the last time that you laughed so hard that your stomach hurt? That's high intimacy, but yeah, it requires you to remember it and tell me a story. My MQL is dropped. A lot of people did not bother replying. So that type of prompt didn't work.
Interestingly, when I messaged my wife on OkCupid, we met online. We originally dated online. Her bio specifically said, do not just send me a hey, how are you? Do not just go with the generic message. I think it's really interesting you bring it up there, right? That so applies to standing out for your business as well. What are you saying that your competitors are not saying in a sea of 1,000 men clicking yes on the same profile on Tinder or Bumble, whatever it is? How are you going to stand out with like you said, hey, you up? Hey, how are you? Hey, beautiful. Hey, gorgeous. The same generic crap every single time. She mentioned she'd been reading the Game of Thrones books on her profile. So I sent my fan theory, Game of Thrones theories to her. And
I love that.
It was high effort. Obviously high intimacy, medium intimacy maybe. But I went straight in with I've just finished book four and I think this person is related to that person. I think they're going to die. I don't know what's happening here. I thought season three was really good, but I'm interested to see where the books are going and blah, blah, blah. And I had this full essay. And apparently it worked,
Now that you're bringing Game of Thrones and because this is dating themed, I once dated a guy and when I dumped him, we were both reading Game of Thrones at the same time. He was just one book ahead of me. He spoiled the Red Wedding for me.
Oh my God. Did he spoil it out of spite because you dumped him?
Yeah.
Oh
my
God.
Because I dumped him.
Wow.
I was like, hey, we're done. And he's like, well, all of the Starks die. And I was like...
Wow.
You what? Yeah. So, and it does apply to when you're trying to contact your customers or the ways in which you reach out and do marketing automation. You can offer a lot of personalization, which takes a lot of work from you. You can demand a lot of work of your customers, like email me if you'd like to set up a time, or you can make it as easy as possible. Here is a video of the value of the work. Here is why I think that we are a match. And here is my Calendly, book a meeting, and I'll give you a personalized demo. So another type of prompt that I was testing was low intimacy, higher effort, which would be like, what's your Hogwarts house? Or what's your favorite James Bond?
Here's my Game of Thrones theories.
Exactly. or like favorite Disney movie, go.
Yeah.
That one didn't really have much impact on the pipeline. Some people replied, some people didn't. But ultimately, it did not move my North Star. So that one also got dropped. Then I tried another one that was like extremely low effort, extremely low intimacy. Waffles or pancakes. Cats or dogs. Just an either or. Pepsi or Coke. That kind of thing. It got a lot of replies, but then it didn't really do much for streamlining my MQLs. I tried something really random that I didn't think was going to work ever, ever, ever. And that is actually the message that I sent my husband. Starting out with a compliment is low effort because you're not asking them anything specific, but it's high intimacy. I remember when I sent my husband, I was trying to find the exact message, but I will always remember because it was a copy-pasted. And now that he knows that I copy-pasted it, he will never trust me again. but it said, wow, your profile is really unique. Way to make a girl swoon.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Another type of prompt that low effort, high intimacy was like, how, you probably hear this all the time, and you have an amazing smile.
Mm.
Or you had me at
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that really like worked in increasing my SQLs.
That's interesting because I think there's that element of having, like you said, that balance between the effort and the intimacy, right? You got to find what's right for your audience and what's going to be right for the kind of people you're wanting to attract and actually form a relationship with. Yes, I'm still talking about business, ladies and gentlemen. This is all still business. It's all still applying.
It's all business.
and I think you really understand, like, carving your own voice out, I think, is a huge part of that as well. Like, understanding your tone of voice. And that's something I've always, like, as a writer, as a podcaster, as a, you know, person helping clients write their copy or answer customer inquiries and all this kind of stuff, having a clear idea of what you want to say and the kind of people you want to attract. So having that example of like, I want to compliment this person, I don't want to go too crazy, I'm not going to like be too weird about it, but there is a way of balancing that and finding the right kind of way of doing it, right? Like you said, a smile. Or I think it was really interesting, the your profile attracted me because you're not going straight to a physical thing, right? You're going straight to they have thought about a thing. And this was something I know I was doing consciously when I was in the, again, back in the dating game in my 20s, and thinking about like complimenting somebody's like clothing choice or makeup choice or hair choice, whatever, something that they can control and they have made an effort about, you're then complimenting it, right? And then you're proving that you're not just being like, hey, you're sexy, and then just being generic or weird or leery about it. You're saying like, oh, I like your choice of dress or hoodie or jumper or that, you know, your cat or whatever.
Exactly.
It is like, yeah, yeah.
And then you standardize it and it looks like you've put more effort in than you actually have put it.
And then you automate everything.
Exactly. But I think what this really comes to show is the importance of knowing what you're measuring, right? So having a sales pipeline and understanding exactly the shape of your funnel, having a North Star so that you are measuring the right thing, the effect on the right thing. We're not trying to, like, I still work in SaaS and I'm not trying to get more leads. I'm trying to get more gold sales. You know, I'm trying to get, my current dream would be to get Taylor Swift to join Sanity, because we do have Beyonce as a client.
I know. Yeah. I heard about this the other day. Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
I think Crystal from Wix told me and I was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool.
I know. So understanding what's your North Star and deciding to measure the right thing is super key to me, because that then enables goal-driven iterative experiments that allow you to optimize your funnel. You're just enabling that growth, enabling that fun marketing strategy. The targeting of the audience is also quite important, because it's not just about who you're targeting, but where you're trying to find them. We didn't talk much about distribution, even though we could have talked about choosing an app, right?
Yeah.
You could choose an app that already pre-targets your audience. If you want to choose, if I only wanted to talk to developers as a business, not in dating. I know they can get confusing because they pick everyone. Exactly.
There's like farmers only or something like that. There's like Christian Mingle and all this kind of stuff. There are like divided, yes, segregated, specific dating apps.
So
right?
You know the farmer one that you're talking about.
I live in Norfolk. I know the farm one very well.
Well, it's owned by somebody in my husband's family.
Amazing. Amazing.
Isn't it? It blows my mind.
Who knew you married a celebrity?
I know. So yeah, you could go further and only like distribute your message in the place where your audience is going to be. So if I wanted to get like a bunch of developers onto a platform, maybe I would try to get on Hacker News or Reddit, or I don't know. You can't really use GitHub as like a social media thing.
No, but yeah, I think that's totally right. Like knowing where your audience is and where they get their information from, where they get their news from, all that kind of stuff. It's something we talk about a lot with our clients in digital PR as well. Like, I think so many clients get stuck in that, and this is something I talked about with Alex Hickson months and months and months ago. Now, and now recently married, Alex Hickson Burr. Congratulations,
yes!
Alex, if you're listening. Well done.
I saw the wedding pictures, and they were so much better than mine, and I'm mildly jealous.
And yeah, we were talking about like breaking out of your bubble, right? Not thinking too closed up, but like understanding you can have that really good conversion rate when you're targeting a thing specifically, rather than just, like you said, shooting your shot to 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 people at once. Like, oh, I'm just going to go on Twitter and find people. It's like, yeah, sure. Unless you're finding specific communities and areas where you're able to target your audience, you're probably not going to get that. Like you said, those qualified leads that are coming through, you're going to get way more general stuff. Like you were saying earlier, with the bikini pic we talked about in the very beginning, you're going to get a lot of interest, but you're probably not going to get the kind of people you actually want to bring in as customers.
Exactly, which is why we exclude keywords like free and all of that stuff when we're doing a PPC campaign or careers or jobs. We don't want to spend money on an ad that brings people looking to, like, they were already going to go on your site.
Yeah,
they were already going to click through to jobs and careers and then apply. They're not a client. So you try to qualify your audience and find your audience in the right way. And also the fact that I have a cat, I feel like putting the cat as the profile picture, there's so many men that hate cats because they're not like obedient like dogs are. So if you're not a cat person, swipe left. They're so common though. Like, don't go on Am I the Asshole on Reddit, because there are so many people going like, I killed my girlfriend's cat. Am I the asshole?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So Emma is she reads Reddit before she falls asleep. It's like the last thing she does before she falls asleep. Because
she doesn't get angry. I can't do that.
Yeah, she's a psychopath. She also like is able to just switch off and sleep instantly. So I'm very jealous.
I'm so jealous.
I know. Yeah, I'm there like listening to like meditative sounds and podcasts and like trying to blot out the noises of my brain and the outside world. And Emma's just like, anyway, just read this horrifying Reddit thing, time for bed. And it's just like snoring straight away.
My husband's literally the same.
And I think it's really weird where, like you get, like you said, you get those Reddit threads of, I killed my girlfriend's cat. Am I the asshole? Oh, I lied about this thing and purposefully lost the cat or whatever. It's like, yes. Objectively, you are the asshole. What are you talking about? Oh my god!
Yeah. So that was another way of like doing brand differentiation, like rejecting or like being unattractive to people that don't fit your target audience is important.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's a lot of chatter recently about like unhinged social media content. Companies like Ryanair and the guys who make Cards Against Humanity and stuff. Like, I know the Cards Against Humanity guys have talked about this a lot of like, yeah, we make the world's most offensive game. Like, we don't want random people who are, you know, super conservative and going to get offended by this to come and play this. So we're going to play to our target audience. So our whole brand, our website is full of swear words. Our Twitter is full of swear words. Our Instagram full of swear words. Like, we don't care because that is the audience we're targeting for that thing. I think that that's something a lot of people kind of underestimate, is putting off the people you don't want. And I know this is a conversation I had with a client a few years ago about, they were trying to be, they essentially had a B2B and a B2C audience, like a kind of a mixed hybrid audience. And they really, really wanted to focus and push into the B2B side of things. Like, how do we put off the B2C people and kind of shift over and really like transform our business? We had this whole conversation about the kind of wording and the kind of presentation of like including taxes and VATs or giving options to remove that and all that kind of stuff. Simple things that aren't directly like copy on your website necessarily, or even, you know, part of the sales funnel, but they are things that people process and have a look at subconsciously. If I see an option to switch on and off like VAT or tax on a website, I'm like, oh, they're probably B2B, they're probably wholesalers or whatever, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And increasing the bar for free shipping, for example, if free 100%. Shipping is after 500, you know that it's not for you individual buyer.
Exactly. Yeah. Little things like that, I think so many people don't appreciate. Like the using the negative for the positive in a way, like you said, putting people off or creating yourself so you're unattractive to the people you don't want. Because I think so many people focus on, as we've been talking about for the last half an hour, attracting the right people.
Yeah.
But there is a power there in not attracting the wrong people as well.
I know. I remember before I actually got and set up this entire unhinged spreadsheet on Tinder, because there wasn't Bumble in Spain at the time, on Tinder, you had the picture and the first line of the bio.
Yep.
And the first line of my bio was feminist.
Oh dear. That would put a lot of people off. I mean,
yeah. It lowered my lead.
Yeah. Good.
But better.
They wouldn't last 30 seconds with you, mate. I've hung out with you. I'm well aware.
I know. I feel like anybody who's ever spoken to me knows that if you're sexist, you don't knock on my door.
Definitely not. Funnily enough, my wife is the same way. She is very outspoken and will let you know if you've said something.
Love it. I feel like I should meet your wife now.
I think you two would get along really well, for the record. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, this really, you know what? It worked, right? Because when I met my husband, my now husband, I sent him that high intimacy, low effort message. I had a cat picture, even though he didn't like cats at the time. But for some reason, that cat picture did not deter him. But I've heard that he talked to his friends like, oh, she's got a cat. Maybe she's not the right fit. He looked like a massive nerd. His profile was written in broken Spanish. None of his pictures were like sexy pictures, but you could see that the jawline was like well-defined, that the eyes were green. He was tall and broad-shouldered. You know, like when I saw him in person, I was like, damn. And yeah, he was an SQL opportunity size gold. And then it turned into opportunity size diamond and platinum.
Hey, there we go. Amazing. I think that was the pun we've been waiting for like the whole episode, right?
No, the puns we were waiting for were penis related.
We've just been sneakily giggling at those the whole time.
But because we don't have video, you won't see that my ring is diamond and platinum.
I can vouch, listeners. It is. I promise. Mine is titanium and malachite, so not as exciting.
I think that's cooler, though.
It's got like a green stripe through it. It's pretty cool.
I love that. But yeah, thank you so much for taking my crazy pitch of like, Jack, I want to go on your podcast and talk about how I measured my dating life to find a husband.
If I didn't know you already, I might have been like, I don't know, man, that seems a bit weird. But like, having known you for a while now, I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense. Like, yeah, this is, like I said, it's very on brand for you. And I think as much as we've been joking about it and stuff, like this has been a genuine like journey through customer optimization and thinking about the funnel and going through those processes, right? As much as it is a funny concept, it is a genuine and legit strategy to go through and think about it. And I think, like we said, we've come up with a lot of different ideas of things people probably wouldn't think about when it comes to business. But as soon as you relate it to dating, again, going back to the cat picture puts people off thing, like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that totally makes sense for business. And like, it's almost like humanizing it and translating it in that way makes it that much more accessible as well. So thank you for coming for a cool, fun, weird, unhinged topic.
Yeah, thank you. I do remember that, like, starting to, I was struggling to understand, you know, like pipeline optimization concepts. But then when I started to relate it to dating, I managed to become like much more effective as a professional because I knew what I was doing. I know what I was measuring. I knew my goal. So if my leads had increased, but the opportunity size hadn't at work, I knew that there was nothing to brag about. I had to figure out why MQLs, SQLs, and opportunity size wasn't growing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, Lydia, how can people follow you on the various social media places and all that stuff if they want to keep up with you and your ranting and raving and all that good stuff across the various social media?
So my name is Lydia Infante. You can find me on LinkedIn. If you search for Lydia Infante, I'm going to be there. On Twitter, because I refuse to call it X, I'm Lydia Infante M. And everywhere else, I'm Lydia Infante M. I also have a website where I sometimes upload podcasts such as this or other articles that I write. It's lydia-infante.com.
You did an amazing case study the other week that I need to shout out and talk about, that plural keyword. Case study. We've been talking about it so much in the office over the last few weeks. It's been really interesting talking about like how to understand search intent and especially, you know, working with so many e-commerce people. So listeners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I will put a link for that in the show notes because it's a fantastic article on Search Engine Journal written by Lydia all about basically understanding the impact and how pluralizing keywords can fundamentally change search intent. And oh boy, it changes a lot more than you might think it do when you first think about it.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Lynn. It's been an absolute pleasure and one of the funniest episodes I think we've ever had.
That was the goal. Thank you so much.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Search with Candor. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I think, like I said, one of the funniest, most unique episodes we've ever done on the show. And a huge thank you to Lydia for joining me. She pitched me this idea completely out of the blue. And we've been talking for a very long time about her return to the podcast after a brief appearance at Brighton SEO. And it was so great to have Lydia back on the show. Like I said, she's one of my favorite people who I've met in the industry and an absolute delight to podcast with. You will hear more of this, I'm guessing, because Lydia is planning to go to other podcasts and pitch it to talks and things like that as well. I think it's a fantastic idea. If you want to see the notes, the handwritten notes, the show notes that Lydia wrote, I will put a link for that in the show description, or you can go to search.withcandor.co.uk, go to the blog post that accompanies this episode and see it there as well. I'll be back next week with more fantastic guests. I know Mark and I will be doing our nearly getting towards the end of it, the end of year recap. It won't quite be the full end of year recap just yet, but I have more fantastic guests coming up, such as Seb Atkinson, the fantastic Seb Atkinson, who has been on the show before, no less. Morgan Petrov coming up as well. We're going to be doing some SEO myth busting, and the one and only fantastic Petra Kishercik coming up towards the end of the year, talking all about emotional intelligence, which I know is something she is very passionate about and they know a lot about. So huge shout out to Morgan, Seb and Petra coming up before the end of the year. And of course, two more episodes with Mark doing our news recap. We'll do the end of November one next week, and then we'll have our wrap up for the entire year. That's right, episode 100 coming up before the end of the year, and we'll do a 2023 in review. Mark and I are breaking everything down, all the good, all the bad, all the highs, all the lows of SEO in 2023. So do stay tuned for that. Lots of fantastic guests and some big announcements coming up in 2024. We're going to have new guests. We're going to have new formats, new content, new ideas, loads of stuff coming up in 2024. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next week.